Hear the word of God as it's written in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 11, which can be found on page 735 of the Pew Bibles. Just as we are tempted to sin, even more so is the temptation that Jesus faced from Satan. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the Scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the Scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. Here ends the first lesson. We return to the Gospel according to Matthew, to chapter 17, reading verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 748 of the Pew Bibles. The confirmation that Jesus was able to resist temptation and was without sin is revealed to three of his disciples on top of a mountain. Matthew 17, reading from verse 1. Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Then his disciples asked him, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus replied, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready, but I tell you, Elijah has already come. But he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer." Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. There's a film in the cinema just now called First Man.
It tells the story of Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, the first man to leave a footprint in the dust where no man had walked before. Neil Armstrong, a name you probably all know, a famous name. Being the first human to do something brings fame. Another name that most people here will know is the name Sir Edmund Hillary. He was the first man to walk on the summit of the earth, the first man to leave a footprint on the top of the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. Many people had tried before him, before his success in 1953. George Mallory was one of them. That's a name you may or may not know. It was a name made famous for two particular reasons. The first being that when he was asked by a New York Times reporter in 1921 why he wanted to climb Everest, Mallory replied with three words that encapsulates what mountaineering is all about. He replied, "Because it's there." And the other reason George Mallory is famous because on his third attempt to climb Mount Everest in 1924, he was last seen setting off to try and reach the summit, never to be seen again. And that was true until 75 years later, in 1999, when his frozen body was found by climbers near the summit. George Mallory, the first known Briton to have died trying to climb Mount Everest. Why climb the mountain? Because it's there. I didn't climb Snowdon, Scafell Pike and Ben Nevis because they are there. I climbed them for a reason. Moses climbed Mount Sinai for a reason, not just because it was there. He climbed it to meet God. Moses, one of the most famous names in the whole world, the first man to receive into his hands the written word of God. Abraham climbed the mountain, the first man of a great nation. He was blessed with many descendants, and from out of his many descendants, the world would be blessed by the most famous man in the history of the world, our Saviour, who is Christ the King. When Peter, James and John climbed the mountain with Jesus, they were the first men to see Jesus in all his glory when he was transformed before their own eyes. When I set off to climb the three peaks, I had no false expectations of meeting Jesus in the flesh, receiving a new set of the Ten Commandments, or being blessed with a nation of descendants, although my daughter is expecting, and that's great. My desire was to examine why the mountains were so significant biblically, to explore the benefits we can all receive from meeting with God in the mountains today, and to discern where God wants me to take my ministry in the 5.5 years I have left before I qualify for a state pension. On the day before I was ordained and inducted to be the minister here in Burnhead, I spent the day climbing Ben Lomond, seeking and receiving in my heart and soul an assurance that this place was where God wanted me to be. And I'm pleased to say that I received similar assurance in my 3 weeks of study leave, that this church is still the place where God wants me to be. I climbed the mountains to meet God spiritually, because for me, that's where I seem to be more open to the Lord, more in tune spiritually, if you like. It may have something to do with getting away. Getting away from the noise of the world around us, a noise that we are so used to that we are often not even conscious of it, a noise that we notice only in its absence. Climb for 1,000 or so feet and you find a stillness and peace as you leave behind the sound of human life, the sound of cars roaring up and down Laburnum Road, the sound of mobile phones with their tuneful ringtones or loud vibrating while on supposed silent mode. The sound of television or radio, sometimes just on in the background. The sound of electrical appliances ticking over, or central heating systems flaming into life. The sound of neighbours having a quiet wee get-together, or the sound of crying filtering through baby listeners. Getting away from the noise is one factor. There's also getting away from the distractions of the world, the temptation to play the latest addictive game on your phone or laptop, to watch life rather than live it through Coronation Street, EastEnders, Neighbours, or whatever TV soap floats your boat. Getting away from the distraction of busyness. Busy working, busy playing, busy moaning, busy gossiping, busy studying, busy keeping fit, busy helping others. Busy, busy, busy. Too busy to be still and commune with God. Busyness is all too often a barrier between us and God. So climb a mountain where your phone has no signal, where the only busyness you will experience is concentrating on where you will put your next footstep, where your mind is forced to the here and now, and not the wanderings that commercial advertising constantly prompts your mind to go to. I climbed the mountains to meet God, and I'm pretty sure that if you climbed a mountain, you too would experience something of the Lord. There is a special experience on reaching the top of a mountain, something that cannot be shared in a photograph, something that requires the exertion that goes before it. One mountaineer described it in the following way. Every source of energy that dissipates as you climb the mountain starts accumulating at the top waiting for you. You just drag yourself up step after step to reach the top. And when you reach the top, all the energy that you expended in getting there just re-enters your body from nowhere and shoots up your happiness levels exponentially. It's an experience that remains with you for your entire life, even if you just climb one mountain. I would agree with him about the level of happiness shooting up, but I'm not so sure about the energy level. For me, that was replenished by a Mars bar and a can of juice. In the past, as a youth leader, I took a group of youngsters away for the weekend. For one of the boys, young Danny, who was 15 years of age at the time, it was the very first time he'd ever been out of the concrete of Glasgow City, or Ballanark in particular. The first time out into the countryside. I struggled to believe that someone aged 15 had never been in the countryside. But the truth of it became apparent by the expression on his face as he saw things that most of us would take for granted. Fields with cows and sheep mesmerized him. And when we got to the Grampian Mountains on the north side of Loch Tay, his face was aglow with wonder. And as we approached the hostel near the foot of Ben Lawyer's, we were blessed to be met by a mighty stag in the path in front of us. It looked us over majestically before clearing the road, as if giving us permission to come into its territory. Danny was in heaven. He could not find words to express what he was seeing. And that expression of wonder hardly ever left his face for the whole weekend. Whether we were singing round a campfire, shooting arrows in the archery range, or climbing into the mountains. I believe that God reveals himself to us in the wonders of nature. But you don't have to climb a mountain to experience God. You don't have to climb a mountain preparing yourself in prayer, separating yourself from the world and all its distractions to meet God. Because God meets you where you are. In a nutshell, God doesn't expect you to be perfect before you can approach God, or before God approaches you. Your spiritual house doesn't have to be perfectly in order before God to enter it. And God meets you in ways that you can understand and appreciate. If you are a scholar or more introverted, for example, you may meet God by being inspired by a book you read. If you're a more social person, you may meet God in a group setting. If you're someone who loves nature, you may meet God by the seashore or mountainside or the waterfall. If your passion is for humanity, it may be the sound of a baby or the instantaneous smile when people in love meet. God meets you as you are, where you are, and in ways that you can understand. God was ready to meet me at the base of the three mountains I climbed. He has spoken to me through his Spirit in lots of places and lots of times in the past, often through little things that people have said or a sudden awareness that comes upon me that I cannot explain. God was ready to meet me, but I felt I wasn't ready to meet God. I needed to climb, to be free from the busyness, the distractions and everything else that constantly occupies my mind. And for me, that worked. It was not that I did not believe that God could meet me anywhere else than on the mountain. It was that for me, I was more prepared to meet God. Some churches in the past, and this church in the past, can focus too heavily on the rules of religion. And that can prevent people from feeling that God can meet them where they are, because they're taught that they're not where they should be. For example, it used to be that you could not take communion unless you were a card-carrying member of the church. The last thing the church should be doing is preventing people from feeling that they can approach God and God can approach them. God loves you as and where you are, but God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to go further. God meets us where we are, and then God invites us to a new place, a better place, a place only found through a deepening relationship with God. Now, some of you may be thinking, I've heard this before, I've been here, I've done that, I've bought the t-shirt, that this kind of message is only for the younger members and seekers within the church. But there is no one here this morning, whether very young or very old, that God does not want to further his relationship with. If you think that God has shown you everything there is for you to see, then you underestimate both God's love and your capacity to learn. No one is ever too old to learn from God. One of the things I learned while climbing on my own in the mountains, something that was aided by the serenity of my environment and the absence of noise pollution, was the thought that many people climb into the mountains or walk into the wilderness to find peace. Peace from the world. And it made me ask the question, where do you find true peace? And the answer came to me at the cross. True peace is found only in Christ. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ triumphant over pain, every sin, every failure, every disappointment, every heartbreak, every tragedy in life. Christ, the Prince of Peace. True peace is found only in Christ. Because though you may find peace from the world in the mountains or wilderness, you cannot find peace from yourself, from the things that you carry deep inside yourself, the things that you regret, the things that haunt and taunt you. True peace only comes from Christ, because through his sacrifice on the cross, he has climbed the depths of hell. Jesus the Christ, the first man to conquer death by himself, the first man to resist Satan's mountain of temptation, the first man to live a sinless life, the only man who can take away your pain and wash away your sin. You don't need to climb a mountain to find true peace. Just turn to the cross and meet Jesus where you are, for he is ready to meet you. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, sometimes we struggle in this life. We carry stuff around with us that burden us and weigh us down. But you, Lord, have promised a peace this world cannot bring. So why do we struggle? Why do we not bring it to you? When your love for us yells out to us, bring your burdens to me. Lay them upon my cross. Take my yoke upon yourself. Lord, give us wisdom to know that we don't need to search for you, because you're already with us. We don't need to walk into the wilderness or climb the mountain. We just need to look within our hearts, and to seek you there. This we pray we come to do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.